This is the Project Management Podcast. We bring project management topics to beginners and experts. Find us on the web at www.thepmpodcast.com or send your emails to pmpodcast@gmail.com.
Hello and welcome to episode number 98. I am Cornelius Fichtner. This is the Project Management Podcast for the 14th of June 2008. Nice to have you with us. Let me begin today's program by saying happy birthday to my sister Ingrid, whose birthday was yesterday, and to my nephew Thomas, who is celebrating his 20-somethingth birthday in London today. And yes, like so many uncles, I'm afraid that I don't really know how old he is. 27? 28? Never really sure. And of course, you never tell your sister's age in public, even if you did remember it. In any case, happy birthday, Tom, and happy birthday, Ingrid. But now, on with the show. In addition to overseeing projects, today's project managers are expected to provide creative input and use their leadership to create an environment that can respond rather than react to changing parameters. And then there are also these continuously moving objectives and requirements that need to be managed. According to Jack Ferraro from myprojectadvisor.com, this new landscape calls for a service-based project manager, which he discusses in his book titled The Strategic Project Leader. In our interview with Jack, we explore the attitudes and behaviors that define successful leaders, the importance of a service view in project management, and most importantly, we discuss and give you tools and tips on how to go from being, you know, just a certified project manager to the point where you are a strategic leader. It's actionable advice on how to grow your leadership skills. Today's episode is sponsored by Spark Internet Marketing, a full-service premium internet marketing firm offering search engine optimization and pay-per-click services to customers across North America. Our number one priority is to grow your business by leveraging the internet to bring you qualified leads at rates lower than traditional advertising mediums. We deliver quality work and fully explain our efforts to you on a monthly basis. Visit sparkinternetmarketing.com and sign up for a free website performance report and 60-minute personalized discovery session. Ah yes, we had a promotional giveaway of two copies of Jerry Manas' latest books called Managing the Grey Areas. And the lucky winners are Sandeep Jabal. He is a listener of the Premium Podcast, a subscriber of the Premium Podcast, and Marcello Oliveira Fernandez. He is a listener of the Free Project Management Podcast. Well, congratulations to both of you. And we're moving straight into our next promotional giveaway. And of course, we are giving away two books of today's interview guest, Jack Ferraro, and the book is called The Strategic Project Leader. As always, the listeners of our Premium Project Management Podcast, the subscribers to the Premium feed, they don't have to do anything. They're automatically entered. And if you are a listener to the Free Podcast, then simply send an email to pmpodcast@gmail.com. And in the subject of this email, just call it Leader, L-E-A-D-E-R. And this email has to reach me by the 25th of June 2008. Well, this is, of course, the moment where I encourage you to become a premium subscriber. Not only will you automatically get enrolled in all our promotional giveaways, and we also currently give you one premium episode with every free episode. So you get twice the information for just a small monthly fee. Oh, and of course, you also help us to keep this program here going. To learn more, stop by at thepmpodcast.com/premium. And now I have another gizmo for you. If you are currently in the process of building a PMO, or if you want to improve your organization's project management maturity, then this gizmo is for you. It is a PMO and PM framework called Processes on Demand, made by BOT International. And here is Mark Perry, the Senior Vice President of BOT International, to tell us all about it.
Thank you.
Hello, Mark, and welcome to the program.
Cornelius, thanks for having me on.
What is Processes on Demand and what does it do?
Processes on Demand is what we call a PMO setup software solution that enables organizations to rapidly and cost-effectively set up their PMO content assets. What does it do? Well, Processes on Demand provides such things as project management processes and templates, PMO policies and dashboards, and very importantly, integration features to the tools and applications that most any PMO already has. Hence, it keeps everybody on the same page as they manage projects and as the management team manages the PMO.
Who are your customers?
Cornelius, we have about 750 customers that use Processes on Demand, spanning Fortune 1000 firms, middle market companies, and government sector organizations. Many of these folks are just household company names that if you walk about your house or walk about your garage, you would see that you've purchased their products. Companies like Toyota Motor Corporation, of course, they make the cars. Stanley Tools, they make the tools that you have in your garage. Lazy Boy Furniture makes the furniture that we sit on. Quicksilver Sports, if you have kids that are into skateboarding or that type of thing. And a wide variety of just other household name firms. People like Intuit Corporation, Royal Caribbean, Amtrak, Yale University, Purdue University, and the list goes on and on.
And what benefits do all those customers get from Processes on Demand?
You know, that's a really good question. In a project management office environment or in a project environment, the benefits of a standardized project management process, whether it's our process or anyone else's, are quite substantial. They accelerate the ability to set up, use, and improve best practices. They promote success of the project team and project managers that are managing projects. They help to reduce the risk of failure. They increase productivity of the team, and that list goes on and on. And if I would take that list and then maybe answer the second half of the question, which is, what are the benefits of Processes on Demand? One of the key things that Processes on Demand provides, I would say in four areas, are quality, time, cost, and risk avoidance. As a commercial productized best practice, Processes on Demand offers a high degree of quality. Ready-to-use project management, SDLC, change management processes, a process builder for custom processes. For time, there's probably no faster and easier way to set up your project management best practices than an off-the-shelf productized platform just for that. Cost, Processes on Demand is very attractively priced and typically much, much, much below other alternatives, whether that's having a dedicated person on the PMO team spend a few weeks to do it themselves or to bring in an external consulting firm to do that work on a billable basis. And in terms of risk avoidance, with a very large install base, it's very much a low-risk proposition with 750 customers and virtually every project portfolio management application used in conjunction with Processes on Demand, like Niku Clarity, Mercury ITG, PlanView, Microsoft Project Server, as well as Processes on Demand being used with virtually every collaboration platform like SharePoint, Lotus, Plumtree, Documentum. Just about any organization be very well served in snapping in, if you will, Processes on Demand along with their already existing project management and PMO tools and applications.
All right, that brings us right to the next question. How do you deliver the tool to your customers?
You know, that's one of the areas of value that we like to talk about a lot. We deliver Processes on Demand as a one-time license fee solution offering that consists of the following four things. You, of course, get the Processes on Demand software, but you also get a no-charge on-site setup. So one of the BOT principals will come on site at your location anywhere in the world, whether it's the United States, Europe, or the Middle East, or Australia, or Singapore, and install Processes on Demand and customize it for you. Also included, the third component, is unlimited usage within the organization. So whether you have 25, 50, 250, or 1,000 people, we view Processes on Demand as a content asset that is yours to use as you see fit. So there is no issue of how many users can access this. Do I have to pay for additional users? With Processes on Demand, when you've paid the license fee, everyone in the organization is entitled to use it. And then the fourth thing is we also provide no charge support and product updates. So there is no annual maintenance fee. We don't view Processes on Demand as a functional application with a backend with a database. Rather, it's content. So we gladly provide question and answer support at no charge, and we provide product updates as no charge as well. And there is no annual maintenance fee for that. Rather, once you pay the one-time license setup fee for processes on demand, these are things that you're entitled to.
All right. And finally, how and where can our listeners learn more about the product?
Your listeners can find out more about processes on demand at our website, www.botinternational.com. And from our website, we have a demonstration system where your listeners can request and get a logon to processes on demand, as well as request a guided demonstration where a BOT principal will guide them through logging into processes on demand and answer any questions that they may have.
Thank you very much for your time today, Mark.
Well, thank you, Cornelius. It was a pleasure to be on the show.
And that was today's gizmo. And if you've heard a few of our gizmos previously, you know that at this point, I give our disclaimer. But today's disclaimer is different. That is because on April 1st of this year, and that's no joke, I quit my job with the financial services company that I was working for up until that point. And I am now an independent PMO consultant and PMP trainer. And one of my engagements is with BOT International, the makers of today's gizmo, and I help companies to build their PMOs by using the tool Processes on Demand. So for this particular gizmo, I do, in fact, endorse the product, and you can contact me personally if you want more information about it. But you should still use your own judgment when you decide to purchase or use any of the gizmos that we present here. Also, BOT International did not pay us for the privilege of presenting the tool here. Okay, before we move on to our main topic, I have one final announcement. Today's episode is number 98. That means the next one will be number 99, and then it's on to number 100. And on the 100th episode, we have a special guest. In fact, it's a mystery guest, and we have yet another contest going on. It is called Guess the Guest. To participate in our Guess the Guest contest, please stop by at our website, thepmpodcast.com, and look for the Guess the Guest announcement. If you guess the name, then you can win a prize from our guest. But unfortunately, I cannot even tell you what that prize is, because if I told you the prize, you would immediately know the name of our guest. So go ahead and have a guess. And now our main topic, the strategic project leader discussion with Jack Ferraro. Jack is the founder of My Project Advisor, a project management services company that provides project management training and leadership development. He has 15 years of adult training and education experience and has conducted training sessions and developed leadership workshops for project managers. Jack also has 15 years of experience working with project teams with extensive experience managing complex enterprise technology and business process improvement projects. Jack is a consultant, trainer, and mentor for project managers and teams seeking to excel at strategic project management. He has designed a leadership development program to help project managers build their leadership skills and important personal competencies. Jack conducts workshops and coaches project managers and teams in a dynamic fashion. So, here is an absolutely great discussion about strategic project leadership with Jack Ferraro.
The Project Management Podcast's feature interview. Today with Jack Ferraro, author and founder of My Project Advisor.
Hello, Jack, and welcome to the Project Management Podcast.
Hello.
To get us started on the path to the strategic project leader, would you mind giving us your view of the difference between a project manager and a project leader?
Sure. In reality today, there's in a lot of our job descriptions in the industry, there probably isn't really much of a difference. The terms are really used interchangeably, but there really needs to be a difference. And what I've attempted to do in my book is to really define a role for a very specific project leader a service-based project leader where their primary role is to initiate and sustain transformation in their organization. The idea being that projects are really the vehicle in which organizations drive change, and the project manager, and more specifically the role of the service-based project leader, is to really be the spearhead of that change and to be able to initiate change and transfer and sustain that change and transformation throughout the life cycle of the project. Very often what we find is a sponsor or executive management may have a great idea of a change that will be driven through a project. However, very often the people actually involved in executing that change are not really fully committed to understanding and fulfilling the benefits of that change. So it's very important for the service-based project leader to, number one, be to not just fully understand the importance of the change, but to in their deepest of their heart to be able to believe in that change and have that change be felt and believed by the team members working with them. And that way, we can start to initiate change through first through the people, starting with the service-based project manager, and initiating this almost level of personal change in their commitment to this strategic change that the organization must go through, but then also getting the people around them to believe it as well. At that point, once the people believe, then we can actually start to see the processes and the systems start to change and ultimately the organization change.
Mm-hmm. So if I understood you correctly, then the difference between the project manager and the project leader is that their roles, from what I heard you say, are similar, but their mindset is different. Is that it?
Well, yes, definitely their mindset is different, and certainly they share some common duties. But the idea that a project leader has a greater responsibility to create and drive change through the ground level layer of the organization, through the workers, through the people in the departments, the people executing the processes, which goes far beyond the traditional role of a project manager of simply managing schedules, costs, and budgets, and tracking information and reporting status.
All right. Let's move on to your book. It is, of course, called The Strategic Project Leader. It's about 300 pages thick, and it's a hardcover. Very nice. I really enjoyed reading it. And you suggested that the topic of our discussion today, the main topic, should be why project managers must become service-based project leaders. And for that, we'll do a bit of crisscrossing throughout the book. We'll start out in Chapter 2. And here you describe the emergence of the service-based leader. Now, how does being a service-based leader tie into going beyond the usual role of a project manager? I think you allured a little bit in the introduction, but let's dive into this a little further.
Sure. I think really this, again, honing in on this idea of initiating transformation in our organizations, and being the idea that a project sponsor may certainly begin the process of initiating change, but we often have project sponsors who are very busy and may not be able to carry out some of these leadership duties within the project. Specifically, you may have a sponsor who may be running an organization of 300 or 3,000 people. There very often becomes a leadership void between the sponsorship of the project and the day-to-day operations of the project. The project manager needs to transform themselves into the service-based project leader so that they can be an appropriate servicer of all the stakeholders involved in the project to be able to initiate and transform the organization to the desired state of management. And at the same time, the project leader must fully believe that this change is critical to the organization and act as a service provider to bring this change to their stakeholders. Now, there's several, I think, key roles that really bring about this, or attitudes that bring about this service-based project leader. And I think one of the key attitudes is that we're really sort of looking at project management not just as an organizational competency, but also as a professional service. We're the duties in the role of a project manager in this role of a leader is to provide a high quality project management service to all its customers. And its customers include not just its sponsors or its critical stakeholders, but also its team members as well.
Mm-hmm. There are a lot of project managers out there who successfully manage their projects without thinking of themselves as a service-based project leader. Now, how important do you think it is for the success of a project that the project manager thinks of themselves as takes a service view when they're managing the project rather than just simply, you know, I'm producing deliverables?
Well, it's critical for them to take that view. Now, certainly, it is critical that we still maintain our focus on deliverables. In terms of how we set up our work breakdown structure and manage to delivering tangible, verifiable work products. We're not suggesting we move away from that. But we have to then realize that change in organizations is very difficult. And the way our stakeholders and our customers experience these deliverables will determine how successful we are in initiating this change. At the ground level in the organization. One of the tools that I like to use to explain this is a concept called the value chain of services. And this actually comes out of a very good book called The Experience Economy by Pine and Gilmore. And the idea is that we take materials out of the ground, raw materials, and we customize them into goods. And then we then continue to customize those goods into services. At each step of the way, what is happening is, from our customer perspective, the level of differentiation of these goods and services continues to increase. As the level of differentiation increases, guess what? So does the customer interest. So if we can continue to customize our project management services and these deliverables, so that we increased our customer interest and increased the level of differentiation, we're going to have a greater chance of providing this and sustaining this critical change that we're being measured against by our management teams. Now, the challenge is though that every step of the way, as we continue to customize, there's this concept of commoditization. Commoditization is really what happens is as we continue to, in a generic sense, in an economic sense, as we continue to modify materials and modify goods into services and increase customer interest and increase differentiation and also increase profit margins, then what happens is people get interested. Other players come into the market and tend to make these goods and they tend to become commoditized. In other words, the level of differentiation goes down because now there's knockoffs of them. The level of customer interest goes down, and obviously it puts tremendous pressure on margins. One of the things that a project manager has to come to grip with in this day and age of project management is that we are in a world of commoditization. Project management is growing rapidly across the globe. There's tremendous demand for it. And we, at its core sense, at an individual sense, we are providing a service. And these services are very much subjected to commoditization, which is very often devaluing the role of a project manager in our organization. I talk about this extensively in Section 1 of my book, and it's really just to provide this impetus that that the project manager needs to transform themselves, continuing to customize their services so that they not only just are producing goods and deliverables for their project teams, but they're also creating services around those and those customizing those services to create experiences for their stakeholders. It's in those positive experiences that these stakeholders will have a better chance of believing in the change that's being executed and believing in the importance of that change and getting on board the train to drive and sustain this transformation.
On the individual level with each of the service-based project managers, how do project management certifications play into this? Do they help to understand yourself as a service deliverer, or do they hinder?
Well, project management certifications, I just want to be very clear to this to my listeners, have done tremendous value for us as an industry to be able to get us recognized that we do have a methodology, we do have standards, and that we do have a level of professional ethics that we must comply with. So those certifications have been very valuable. But there's a downside to it. And the downside to it is that the advent of these certifications have made it much easier for project management to grow and spread across the globe. While that may be very good for the industry, for the individual practitioner, there is a challenge because it makes project management less mysterious. And these certifications and these standards that we have, such as the PMBOK guide or IPMA's competence baseline, these are all standards that are out there on the market which have taken this tacit knowledge that the practitioner has typically had in their head, things that they either have come accustomed to through experience or have learned from peers and practitioners. This tacit knowledge has now been codified. And now that it's been codified, it's easily transferred from person to person and from within and out an organization. Organizations now have understood this process and have invested heavily in certifications for their employees, for their project managers, and they now view project management knowledge as a corporate asset, and they monitor and control this asset very closely. The idea is that as global services become commoditized, one of the key trends or one of the key factors in a global service, such as project management is global, is that the knowledge in the industry value chain moves from being very tacit to very codified. And it also there's also a development of technical standards that will allow the knowledge to be interchanged and moved from one organization to the next to be able to supply this service in a very specialized format. Today, one of the trends when I researched this book was that there's tremendous drive towards a level of specialization in project management. I highlight actually three main types of specialization. One is the project administrator, there's the project knowledge expert, and then there's the leader. Each one of these roles has tremendous value to our customers, but there's a different value proposition with it, and we must understand as project managers and project leaders where our strengths are and where our value proposition is with our customer. Neither of these roles is more important than the other, but they're all critical to the organization, and it's really dependent upon the project manager to look at their own profession and in this world of commoditization that we live in to be able to identify where they can provide the greatest value proposition, the greatest service to their organization.
To me, that sounds like you're saying, yes, you are a certified project manager, but you have to go beyond that certification. You have to go above and beyond that. So then tell me, where do I start? How do I do this? Where do I start in order to go from I'm a certified project manager and I want to end up at I am a strategic project leader?
That is a great question. Where do I start? Do I start with, when I speak in front of my peers and my practitioners, I often suggest that there's really several answers to this and that we must choose the best path for us to follow. There's obviously lots of additional education being brought forth into the marketplace in terms of higher level degrees. There's additional certifications being brought into the marketplace. All of these are of tremendous value to us personally and as an industry. But the common denominator, which every one of us must find if we are going to move from project manager to strategic project leader, is that we have to find projects that are meaningful to us, projects that resonate with us, and projects that make us realize that our service is absolutely critical to the success of this endeavor, and that the success of this endeavor is of critical nature to our stakeholders. So we really must be able to find this critical work, this meaningful work. And I relate it very much in the book to a very similar concept which many of us have read about, whether it's in our college days or even in our professional days, but it's this idea of Maslow's hierarchy, his basic pyramid of needs, you know, the base of the pyramid being the psychological needs, moving up through the basic safety needs of shelter, freedom, then the more softer needs around loving and belonging and personal relationships and community, to the higher level needs of self-esteem and recognition, and ultimately this idea of self-actualization, this idea that we have this potential, this creativity and this potential to really change the world. Very often, I think, as project managers, many of us have fallen into project management by accident. You know, there's the term the accidental project manager. There's not too many people that I know that actually have gone out and said, when I was in high school, I always knew I wanted to be a project manager. We very often have moved into our professional careers, and by one way or another, we've got involved in these projects. We might have become fascinated with it. We might have become very good at it, and we've gone on to sort of make project management our career. The key is that even though we may be satisfying a lot of these basic needs, right, we may have good jobs that pay well, we may be part of a group, or we may have this belonging nature as a part of a community, such as a industry association, but very often we haven't really met these higher level needs in our jobs and our professions. The ironic thing is when the basic needs go unmet, such as our basic physiological needs of food and water, they become very obvious. We get hungry. We feel the insecurity of not having safety or shelter. When these needs go unmet, it is physically and emotionally very obvious to one's psyche. But when the higher level needs remain unfulfilled, things such as self-esteem, self-actualization, their absence is not always obvious. And these needs must be pursued very vigorously by the strategic project leader, because they must be convinced that their capabilities that they bring forth and their knowledge and their experience and their tools that they have to be the spearhead of change is critical to the organization and critical to their stakeholders, and that this recognition, this self-actualization will continue to drive internal growth within them to become what I call this service-based project leader.
Do you have any colleagues or customers who have gone through this transformation, and what has it done for their effectiveness and respect that they receive in the workplace?
Well, I think there's many people going through this, and I personally work with people that have gone through this transformation, and I think it's actually more common than we think. And really the goal of my book is to really sort of put a name to it and put a definition around a lot of these things so that we can identify it within our own industry as project management. Certainly not just within this concept of a service-based project leader is not just applicable to project management, but it's certainly applicable to many other types of careers as well. But certainly within project management, what I have seen, whether they be project managers or even people who have worked on project teams, may have not even been a former project manager, but they get involved and they see that they see the impact of their work on critical aspects of the organization, whether it's a financial institution, whether it's a government institution. These organizations have tremendous needs to be fixed and operate better. Whether these organizations are responding to catastrophes such as Katrina, or whether these organizations are providing basic services and healthcare services, or delivering medicines and foods to people who need them. These are organizations that have a primary mission and a meaningful mission at that, and the people that I've worked with have sort of have seen their role in this mission become more pronounced, more important. Whether they're continuing to run projects or whether they're running large components of the organization, they move up the organization to where they're now able to work across organizational boundaries, bring people together to drive the strategic change. One of the things that we've seen as organizations have become more adept at being able to align projects with their strategic objectives is that these projects move from very often more siloed or departmental type projects to where they move up the enterprise where they're more horizontal. Whether they're big projects or small projects, the strategic nature of these, because organizations have limited funds and limited resources, each project dollar has to be focused on achieving very specific strategic objectives. These projects now have become more enterprise driven. And what I've seen consistently here, people who adopt this mentality, whether they are functional managers or project managers, that they become more strategic to their organization. They become more viewed as a future potential leader of their organization, not just a project manager. In other words, they really break out of this mold of maybe the backroom project managers who's managing cost schedule, setting up meetings, managing information on portals and things like that. These people now move to a higher value chain in the organization where their ability to bring people together, to align and motivate people to a common cause, is much more valued than the work that they may have previously been doing around simply managing the nuts and bolts of a project.
While you were speaking, I kind of flipped through your book here, and on page 234, I found a summary table of the self-directed project leadership plan. It gives a beautiful, beautiful plan for someone who really wants to follow this process and go from a mere project manager to the strategic project leader. Where would you say do most people stumble in this process of going from a PM to a strategic leader? Where do you see most people have difficulties?
Well, in the table that I laid out, there's really four key steps to what I call this self-directed guide to project leadership. The first step being commitment and direction. The second one being acquiring and assessing their leadership competencies. The fourth being this continual practicing of these skills. We have to be able to have a playing field of which we can practice these leadership competencies. And the challenge is that even though the professional football players get the practice from Monday through Friday or Saturday and then play on Sunday, we as project managers and project leaders, we have to practice these skills Monday through Friday in our offices, in our cubicles, in our meetings, and so on. There really is no practice field. Our practice field is our jobs. And then lastly, the fourth step is this idea of we have to serve. We have to look at these. We have to make a willingness to be able to provide these services to our stakeholders in a way that is unencumbered by the contractual nature of our employment. In other words, the work becomes more important to some extent than the contractual nature of our jobs. In answer to your question, which one I think is the one that is most difficult for people to overcome is really the first one. It's getting this commitment and direction. And really, I think that many of us have not, because maybe the pace of our careers or we haven't really been trained to think about what is really meaningful to us in work and how do we really commit to that level of work and how do we establish a direction. And I try to provide very practical guidelines in terms of giving the tools to the readers of the book of how do I really understand what some of my core values are, or how do I understand and discover what my strengths are, and then how do I find this meaningful work that matches up with that so that I can really see my efforts being applied to my job and seeing the benefits of that change. The assessments is obviously, people are often very leery of assessing and getting feedback because, frankly, a lot of our organizations don't have a healthy enough environment to be able to do that with candor and honesty. But there's no reason why through developing what I call these trust-based relationships with our peers, which I talk about extensively in the book, that we can't by ourselves acquire this type of assessment information to improve our leadership competencies. So I think really the first two steps are probably the most difficult, but once we get started and people begin to practice this, they see the results. And that's the beauty of this. Once they start to see the results and they see the personal transformation that they begin to go through and the transformation that others go through around them as they're working on driving this strategic change, this very important change in our projects, then it actually accelerates. So it's really getting over that initial hump and really getting this commitment and believing that these leadership competencies, these relationships that I have, this meaningful work is actually critical to your career. It's critical to you in being successful, not just necessarily making more money, but it's critical to getting this level of happiness in your job and reward in your job internally that many of us crave.
To end our discussion, would you mind giving our listeners maybe a tool or a tip in regards to overcoming exactly that difficulty that you say they may have in getting commitment and the direction so that they can start on their way to going from just being a project manager to a service-based project leader?
Well, I think one of the things I would like to share with my listeners today, and I write about it in the book, is that some of this may sound very challenging and daunting, and there's often a lot of excuses that we can come up with, and I'd really like to spend a little bit of time of maybe distilling the typical excuses that we may have in our organizations. The first one is I often hear people saying, well, you know what, I really don't have the authority to do this. I'm a project manager. I have a specific role in this organization. I don't have the authority to do these types of things in my role, in my organization. But that can really easily be dispelled because successful leaders do not attain their leadership positions by waiting for others to appoint them or their superiors to appoint them. Leaders don't wait for someone to tell them to lead. They start the process themselves. They reach for more responsibility and they create these opportunities for themselves by serving the interests of others. So we really have to be strong in our thinking that this is really not a valid excuse for us to wait for somebody else to tell us to move into this leadership role. Another common excuse is, I don't have the ability. Many people convince themselves that their brain is just simply not wired for leadership work. But leadership opportunities are abundant in our organizations, and they come in all shapes and sizes. We don't have to start out with trying to take on the largest company initiative and lead that. We can start with very subtle projects and build our leadership competencies on those projects. They could be projects even within our communities, within our churches, within our schools, where we can learn to improve our soft skills. The journey is unique to everyone, and we have to realize that through practice and repetition, we can learn to use our brains differently in how we do our job. So we really do have the ability. We have to hone it. We have to find it. And lastly, I think this is really, I think, one of the excuses that many people cling to, and I find this is the one that want people that really just can't seem to often let go, and that is the organizational culture must change first. People convince themselves that the organizational culture will not allow them to be a successful leader, even if they had the authority. However, waiting for this organizational culture to change is way too risky. There's opportunities that are floating past us as project managers every day, and we must act upon them. These organizational cultures are changed by us, by change agents, by spearheads of change, who must first transform themselves, then transform their organizations through their processes and their systems. People transform organizations. Organizations don't transform people. So we have to be able to make sure we don't hold on to this excuse. We are the spearheads of change as project leaders. We have tremendous tools and capabilities that we've been trained with to be able to execute these. And our own personal leadership competencies are the best offensive weapon to change this. So we have to reach for these opportunities and not simply sit back and wait for the organizational culture to change first.
Fabulous. Thank you for these tips, Jack. Once again, the book is titled The Strategic Project Leader, Mastering Service-Based Project Leadership. It is written by Jack Ferraro and published by Auerbach Publications. Jack, thank you so much for your time on the program today.
You're very welcome.
And that was our interview with Jack Ferraro. Here is what I would like to know from you. Jack makes a passionate plea for us project managers to break out of our traditional roles and build a service-based mentality. Well, do you agree? Please stop by at our website and post your reply to this question as a comment to episode number 98. That's it for today. Thank you very much for listening. As always, you can find us on the web at thepmpodcast.com. And if you are a project manager who wants to become a PMP, you can visit pmprepcast.com. In this podcast, we teach you concepts, tools, and techniques that you need to know in order to pass the PMP exam. Please send your emails to pmpodcast@gmail.com. And when you write, please tell me where in the world you're writing from. And finally, we have this from my upcoming book titled The Dictionary of Fake Project Management Terms. And we look at the definition of the term Murphy. Murphy is the patron saint of project managers. Until next time. In fact, it's a mystery guest, and we have yet another contest going on. It is called Guess the Guest. To participate in our Guess the Guest... All right, I gotta do that again.